Amen. Well, it's a joy to be back tonight. I've enjoyed the meeting with you. I appreciate again the privilege of coming, the invitation from your pastor, the graciousness of the church. Appreciate the room, the food, and the offering the church has given to me. And it's just been all a blessing. It's been a blessing to get to meet some of you and just preach God's word with Amen. People of like faith. I've enjoyed all the singing, enjoyed the testimonies, the worship. I just enjoyed the whole week. And I just thank God for it. Amen. So you pray for me as I travel back home and go on with the ministry God's given me. And I will remember you here faithfully in my prayers. I promise Amen. You that. I'll pray Amen. Faithfully for you. And I trust you can do the same for me Amen. As well. Jeremiah chapter number 6. If you've got your Bible and like to turn with us, Jeremiah chapter number 6. And we're gonna just read beginning verse number 28, Jeremiah chapter number 6, verse number 28. The Bible tells us here, they are all grievous revolters, walking with slanders. They are brass and iron, they are all corrupters. The bellows are burned, the lead is consumed of the fire. The founder meldeth in vain, for the wicked are not plucked away. Reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them. All right, you can be seated. I'd ask you to keep your Bible open here to Jeremiah chapter number 6. And I'd like to talk to you just for a little bit tonight on this matter of being a reprobate. And I guess if I had a message, it would be kind of the path to reprobation. And I know Romans chapter number 1 talks about men that God's turned over to a reprobate mind. Personally, I believe that probably many in our nation's been turned over to a reprobate mind, just all the things that are going on. But I want to kind of look at it more so from the Old Testament here and some things that God said in Jeremiah 6 about people that God called reprobates. Of course, the Bible here defines what reprobate means as far as a biblical definition. The Bible said in verse number 30, reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them. Right. So the idea is that these people here that claim to be the people of God and love God, God said you're like silver that is reprobate. Or in other words, it's like that which appears to be true silver, genuine silver, but then when you test it, you put it in the fire, it turns out to be nothing but dross. Right. And that's what God's saying about his people here. He said, you claim to be my people and love me and be serving me, but when you weigh your life out against your testimony, there's nothing there. There's no holiness. There's no godliness. There's no righteousness. There's no hunger for me. There's no desire to do my will. And God said, you're just like reprobate silver. And the Bible said, the Lord hath rejected thee. So the Bible here talks about God rejects the reprobate. Now, that's a shocking concept to a lot of people in religion today. You know, most people, they have no problem accepting the fact that men can either accept or reject God, whatever they want to do. Matter of fact, many times preachers say, you need to accept the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you tell many of the congregations that God may reject them, you know, they really get upset with God, because that's not the kind of God they want to hear about, a God that rejects them. They just want to hear about a God that's going to love them in spite of everything and just accept them and just, you know, let them go to heaven even if they never really get saved and never get changed by the power of God. It doesn't matter. As we saw the other night, they can be unrighteous. They can be an adulterer, fornicator, feminine, abuser of themselves, of mankind, a covetous thief, drunkard, reviler, extortioner, whatever they want to practice as far as their life. Yep. And then they think because they prayed a prayer, shook a preacher's hand, or joined a church, or been baptized, or give a little bit in the offering plate, that when they die, God's just going to open the door and give them this great, big, abundant entrance. Well, it's not going to work like that according to the Bible. Now, these people probably didn't realize it because they've not been paying attention to the Word of God as God's been warning them all along here. So I wouldn't suspect that they'd pay attention to what God's saying here. But God is telling them, you know, I've rejected you. God, through his prophet Jeremiah, is telling these people, I've rejected you.
Right.
Now, I'm sure they probably didn't pay attention, so they were going to be shocked in eternity when they woke up in eternity and found out that they were rejected by God.
Right.
See, they're not in heaven yet. They're down here upon the earth. And God's rejected them down here upon the earth. And then when they get to heaven, they're going to come into heaven thinking they're going to be with God in heaven, but God's going to put them in hell and then the lake of fire because they're rejected. Now, God tells us in the book of Corinthians, and I want you to turn there to 2 Corinthians chapter number 13, 2 Corinthians chapter number 13, and you know this verse, but this is a New Testament verse that deals with the word reprobate. And here's what God says to his church, and since all of us are part of the church here tonight, this is what God says to us. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates.
Right.
Now here's what God says to his church. And you can do this or not do this, but I'm going to just tell you what God says.
Right.
And if you don't want to do this or you choose not to do this, it may be to your eternal loss.
Yep.
But the Bible said here that you need to examine yourself.
Right.
It's not your mother, your daddy, your preacher, your pastor, your fellow church members that are to do this examination. It's you.
Right.
Take the word of God and examine yourself.
Right.
To see whether you be in the faith.
Right.
And the Bible said, prove your own selves.
Yep.
So the idea is that you're to examine yourself. I'm to examine myself. And then I'm to prove whether I'm really in the faith.
Right.
And the idea behind the word prove is there ought to be proofs. There ought to be evidence. There ought to be marks that let us know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we are truly saved and born again. We're in the faith. We're born again. We're going to heaven. And we're not a reprobate, one that's being rejected by God. Amen. I'd hate to think I'm going to heaven and find out eternally too late that in actuality I'm rejected by God Almighty. I hope that's not the case. And the Bible said here, examine yourself, prove your own self. And know ye not your own self, that Jesus Christ is in you. See, if you're saved, you ought to be able to know that Jesus Christ is in you.
Amen.
That's what the Bible is saying.
Right.
Know ye not your own selves that Jesus Christ is in you. Now, if you're saved, Jesus Christ is in you. And if you're saved and Jesus Christ is in you, you ought to know that Jesus Christ is in you.
Amen.
Amen. Now, if I'm not sure that Jesus Christ is in me, that's even more reason for me to be examining myself, proving myself, finding out, is Jesus really living in my life? And do I have the marks and the characteristics of one who's got Christ living in him?
Amen.
You know, the Bible talks about in 1 John different marks of being born again. Amen. The Bible tells you how you can know that you've been born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. If you're going to enter the kingdom of heaven, you've got to be born again. You go to the book of 1 John, the Bible talks about, by this we know that we've passed from death to life. We've been born again by certain things that God said he's done in our life that will show up in our life if we really get saved.
Amen.
Now, the Bible says this. If you're honest enough to do what the Bible said and examine yourself and prove yourself to see if Jesus Christ is in you, and you come away from that time of examination, that time of proving your own self, and you don't know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is in you, it could be because you're still rejected of God and not yet accepted in the Beloved. Amen. Know you not that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate? Paul's saying the only reason I can figure out that a man wouldn't know that Jesus Christ is in him is because he's not in him. Amen. But if Jesus Christ is in you, you ought to be able, by biblical means, to know that he is living inside of you. Now, I want to say again, Jesus Christ, not the pastor, not the preacher, not the evangelist, Jesus Christ said to all of us that are part of his church, you say, we're already saved. Why do we have to do this? Because the Bible tells us we need to. Amen.
Right.
It's not going to hurt. It's not going to hurt. You say, I know I'm saved. Nobody's going to shake me on my salvation. Nobody's trying to shake you on your salvation. God's trying to make sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that all of us that think we're saved are really saved.
Amen.
He doesn't want to see any of us deceived.
Right.
He doesn't want to say to any of us, depart from me, I never knew you. He doesn't want to reject us. And the only reason why we'd be rejected up there, because we're not yet accepted in the beloved down here. Amen. We come to Jesus, and the Bible said He will no wise cast us out. But if you don't come to Jesus and you don't receive the Son of God, there's no way that He's going to be able to let you stay with Him. Amen. You've got to come to Jesus, and you've got to have Jesus. And then, in no wise will I ever cast you out. And I say hallelujah for that. Well, take your Bible and turn back to the book of Jeremiah chapter number 6. Jeremiah chapter number 6. And let's just look at some of the things the Bible said about these that God said that they were reprobate. And this is the marks of a reprobate. Or maybe not the marks of a reprobate, but this is for sure the path that reprobates take before they end up being reprobated by God. And I don't know how long God allows them to travel this path, but only God knows these things. But there comes a point when you keep going down the wrong path, 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 even God with all His patience and long-suffering and forbearance, putting up with the sin and the rebellion of man for as long as He does. Matter of fact, none of us would be saved tonight were it not for the mercy of God. Amen. God in His mercy and God in His forbearance. You know why we're saved tonight? And the Bible said, despise not the riches of His goodness and His forbearance, knowing that the goodness of God led us to repentance. The reason why we're saved tonight and we even repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, because God was not just forbearing with us, He put up with our junk as a sinner. He put up with our rebellion, but He just wasn't forbearing with us. He was rich in forbearance. Amen. He was rich in goodness. See, some of us should have been in hell a long time before we had an opportunity to be saved, amen, the way we were living, some of the things we were doing. Now, some of you got saved from a clean background, hallelujah. But some of us in this building, I'm sure, got saved from a background that wasn't so good. And you know what? The wrath of God was abiding over our head that whole time. And God would have been just at any moment to drop the whole load on us, amen. But you know what God did? In His rich forbearance, amen, He helped the wrath of God off of us. And in His goodness, amen, He kept drawing us to Jesus and wooing us to Jesus and kept dealing with our soul till finally we came to ourselves and God in our right mind, where we sought God and His salvation, and now we're saved, going to heaven as a child of God, a son of God, an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ, amen. And throughout the ceaseless ages, we'll sing the praises of God. Why? Because God was merciful in dealing with us before we got saved. Amen. And I thank God for that. Hallelujah. So I don't know how long God puts up with these that are traveling down the wrong path, but I do believe there's a line that crosses every path. Amen. The boundary between God's patience and God's wrath. Now it's the only time we've got to do His precious will. Do not put it off for tomorrow, because by then your life may be still and in the grave. Oh, may God help us. Amen. So the Bible said here, Jeremiah chapter number 6, first thing I see as far as these that are traveling down the path to reprobation. The Bible says in verse number 16, notice this verse, you know the verse. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is a good way and walk there, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, who? Those that God said, you're rejected of me. They said, we will not walk therein. Now notice, didn't say we don't like to hear about it. Notice it didn't say we don't like preaching about it. Notice it didn't say we don't like to go to a church that stands for old past. But the Bible said the issue here between these people and the old past, that God said you ought to walk in where is the good way and you shall find rest for your souls. They said we will not walk therein. They may have shouted over the old past. They may have said amen to the old past. They may have acted like they loved the old past when the preacher was preaching on the old past and Jeremiah was thundering out the truth about walking in the old past. They may have raised their hand and said, hallelujah, that's the way it's always been. That's the way I like it. They may have said all that, but the point with God, they did not want to walk in them. They did not want to live according to them. They were not going to live like God said you ought to live in the old time past. Amen. And the old way. Amen.
That's right.
So I want to say, first of all, people that are on the path to being rejected by God are people that are refusing to walk in the old path.
Amen. That's right.
And I don't have to labor the point here in this church, but I'm talking about old-fashioned, old-time preaching, old-fashioned, old-time praying, old-fashioned, old-time singing, old-fashioned, old-time praising God, old-fashioned, old-time separation from the world, coming out from the world, amen, coming out from worldly things. I'm talking about living separated unto God. I'm talking about living right, dressing right, talking right, looking right. I'm talking about doing it as unto the Lord because it's in your heart to do it. But I'm telling you, those that are going down the path of reprobation say, no, we will not walk therein. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. Well, God won't make you do it, but I'll tell you what He'll do. If you don't want to go His way, He'll reject you.
Yep.
If you want to reject His way, one day He'll reject you.
Yes, sir.
If you don't want to live the way that God said Christians ought to live, God's not going to tell me how to live my life. You'll be rejected by God one day.
Right.
If God doesn't tell you how to live down here, you won't live with Him over there. I'll tell you that much. Amen. You say, how can you say that? Because the Bible said you got to confess Jesus is Lord even to be saved. You say, what does that mean? Well, that means just like Saul the rebel who hated Jesus Christ, before he got saved, he had to call Jesus his Lord. He thought Jesus was a false prophet. He was trying to do away with everybody that was following Jesus. He thought Jesus was a blasphemer. But I'm going to tell you what, when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, he got down on his face before the Lord Jesus Christ and he said, what will thou have me to do, Lord? You know what he was doing? He was confessing Jesus as his Lord. And you know what that means? That means, Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm ready to do it.
Right. Amen.
Amen. You're going to run my life now. I'm going to walk in your ways. I'm going to walk in the ways that you want me to walk in. I'm going to tell you, it's not enough just to come into a good, sound, fundamental church. If you're going to get into heaven, you've got to have God change your heart where now you're walking in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Amen. You're a new man, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, your soul begins to pant after God in His holiness and His righteousness. Amen. And if you never have that happen to you, you've never been born by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will guide you into all truth. He'll not guide you to go against the truth. He'll guide you to follow the truth, amen, and come into the truth. Yes, praise God. But the Bible said, these people said, we will not walk therein. Another thing I notice about them, verse number 17, God set watchmen over them to warn them. That's your pastor. And everybody that he gets that preaches the Word of God from this pulpit along the way. You know what they do? They warn you. And the Bible said, also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. That's a picture of the preaching of the Word of God. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Cry aloud, spare not. Show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. That's what the Bible said. The Bible said in the New Testament, when you sound the trumpet as a preacher, don't give an uncertain sound. Amen. Let the people know exactly where you stand and what you're standing for and what you're preaching about. Amen. Don't beat around the bush and don't tiptoe through the tulips. Tell it just like the Bible said it. Give the plain black and white truth of the Bible to just like it is, to people just like they are. And then they've got to deal with it as God gives it to them. Amen. And you know what the Bible said here? The Bible said, I sent watchmen over you saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Look down in verse number 19 at the end of the verse. Because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. You know what God said? God said, I sent watchmen over you. They sounded out the Word of God. They lifted up the trumpet of the preaching of the Word of God. They sounded it out clear. They sounded it out loud. They sounded out just like I wanted them to. But you know what you people did? You sit out there and you turn a deaf ear to the Word of God. You said, I will not listen to that kind of preaching. I'm just going to turn that preacher off. He's going in a place I don't want to listen to. So you just turn him off. Amen. And the Bible said, when it came to the law of God, see, the law of God is God's standard of what's right and what's wrong. It's God's thou shalt not. Is God saying this is right and that's wrong? Thou shalt do this because it's right. Thou shalt not do this because it's wrong. And you know what they said? We're not going to listen to you telling us what's right and what's wrong for our life. We'll be our own judge. We'll be our own God. We'll direct our life the way we want our life to go. Nobody's going to tell us what we can do and can't do. That's this generation we got in America today. Amen. That's why churches like this and mine are not filled and running over. We're not knocking the walls out. You know why? Because they don't want the kind of preaching that's got any authority behind it. Amen. They don't want the kind of preaching where the preacher stands up and says, God said we're to live like this. If we don't live like this, we're just wrong. Amen. And God says this is wrong. And I don't care if everybody gets together and says, well, I don't see anything wrong with it. If God said it's wrong and everybody said it's right, it's wrong. I don't care if everybody else says it's right. Amen. Yes, praise God. So they said, we are not going to listen to these watchmen that God's placed over us. See, that's the path of reprobation. They don't want to choose the old past. And if they don't want to choose the old past, they sure don't want to listen to preaching about the old past. We live in a generation where the time has come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they heed themselves teachers having itching ears. You know what we want today? We want teachers that'll scratch our ears. Our ears are itching, amen, and we want you to scratch our ears. You know what happens when you scratch an itch? It really does feel good. And you know what people want today? They want the preacher, every time we come together, make us feel good before we leave. We may be the biggest reprobate in the whole county, the whole town. We may be shacking up. We may be an adulterer. We may be into sodomy and pornography. But we want to come to the house of God and we want that preacher to preach smooth things to us and make us feel good in our sin and our rebellion and our wickedness so that when we leave, we can feel good about being as rotten as we are. I remember years ago I was visiting on visitation. I ran across this boy. I knew a little bit something about him. He was just a scoundrel. Just needed to be saved by the grace of God like many of us did. You know, just out there doing all kind of wicked things. Just forsaking his family. Wouldn't take care of his family. Running around shacking up with other women. Everything like that. And so I invited him to come to church. I called his name and said, you know, you really need to get in church. You got a young family. Got several young children. They need to be in church. Need to be in Sunday school where they can hear the word of God. He said, what kind of church do you have, preacher? I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, what kind of church do you have? I said, well, we just get together and we pray and we preach and we sing and we testify and then we come back and we do it all over again.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. He said, well, I used to go to a church down in Georgia and I really liked that church. I said, you did? He said, yes, sir, I really did. I said, why did you like it so much? He said, because every time I went to the church service, that preacher always made me feel good. And when he said that, I prayed in my heart, Brother Hall, I prayed in my heart, God is my witness. I cried out of my heart, God, I don't know if this young man will ever come to our church or not, but if he comes, please don't let him sit there feeling good in the condition he's in. Amen. Let me preach something that'll make him get troubled and get bothered and get convicted and feel condemned over his sin and his wicked ways. Oh, God, help me. Amen. Brother, we're rocking them straight down into hell, rocking them to sleep, sitting on our church pews because we're not preaching the Word of God.
Yep. Right.
Amen. So the Bible said, I said, a watchman over them. They wouldn't listen. Now look at verse 1, number 19 said, hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people. Notice this statement, even the fruit of their thoughts. Don't we live in a wicked, evil time?
Yep.
Amen. Isn't sin abounding everywhere? I'm talking about gross sin.
Yep.
I'm talking about perverted sin. I'm not talking about normal sin. I'm talking about sin that needs to be put back in the closet. The door needs to be shut and the key needs to lock the door and the key needs to be thrown away so the door can never be opened again so they can come out. Amen. I'm talking about all kind of perverted sin. You know where all this evil came from? It's the fruit of men's thoughts. You know what God said? God said, when man rejects me in their mind, I'll give them the fruit of their thoughts.
Yep.
You know what we've done as a nation back in the 60s? We kicked God out of our school. We took prayer and Bible out of our school. We said we don't want God. So you know what we've had for the last 40, 50 years? We've had reaping of the fruit of man's wicked thoughts.
That's
who
right.
Said, we don't want God.
That's right.
See, all this evil is nothing more than fruit that is in connecting or connection to the thoughts of the men of this generation. Or in other words, let me put it like this. What they're doing is what they've been thinking about for a long time. You remember that verse in Genesis where the Bible said, every imagination thought of the heart was only evil continually? Let me explain that to you in modern terms. That's called pornography. Amen. When the most visited site on the internet by far is pornography sites, that lets you know that for a lot of people in this nation, every imagination and thought of their heart is only evil continually. You can't get involved in pornography unless it totally corrupts your mind and thoughts to where every imagination and every thought that a man has is only evil continually. You say, I don't believe a man can be that bad. God said they've already been that bad, and God said they'll be that bad before I come back. Amen. We live in a generation where men can't have a normal thought. Now I want to say this, a man that'll go and get involved in pornography, it'll be an absolute miracle. And I don't even know with the grace of God, even if he gets saved, if he can have a normal, natural marriage with a woman. That's just my own personal opinion. Amen. But you know what God said? God said, oh, their thoughts are so corrupt, but I'm going to judge them. And here's how I'm going to judge them. I'm going to let them reap the fruit of their thoughts. You know what God's doing in America? He's judging America with all this sin. The Spirit of God, I don't know about you, but I don't think the Spirit of God's striving against the sin of this nation like He did 100 years ago. Amen? I believe God, the Holy Spirit, is just backing off and letting man go. Let man go. See, it's not a good thing if one time you could come to church and God dealt with you and God troubled you and now you're just as wicked, if not more wicked, and you can come to church and sit under the same preaching and you can leave thinking, well, it doesn't bother me anymore. You better watch that.
Right. Yes, sir.
I'd be bothered that I wasn't bothered.
That's right.
I'd be bothered that I wasn't bothered. I'd be troubled that I wasn't troubled. Amen. I'd be upset that I was no longer upset when I come to the house of God. At least when you get them upset, you knew the Word of God was doing something to them. Amen. I'd rather have them leave mad and upset and slamming the doors and angry and wanting to fight and everything else as just sit there and sleep through every service. Nothing ever touch them. Nothing ever move them. Nothing ever disturb them. Nothing ever get a hold of their heart. We live in a generation, amen, I'm telling you, they're twice dead and plucked up by the roots. They're twofold more child of hell. They've made a little profession that's never changed your life, and they're not listening to anything else. They don't have time to listen to the Word of God. They're so entangled with the things of this world. All they're thinking about morning, noon, and night is sin, sin, sin. They're loaded up on sin, and God said, that's a path to reprobation. You're going to be rejected by me one day. Amen. Well, look at what the Bible said in verse number 28. They are all grievous revolters. You know what the Word of God does to you that are right with God? It rejoices your heart. Amen. Thy Word was found and I did eat it. Thy Word was the cause and the rejoicing of my heart. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for your salvation if the Word of God's never rejoiced your heart when you heard it preached. Amen. I'm not saying you're going to shout and run the aisles every time the Word of God is preached, but I'm saying there's time when the Word of God's being given forth. It's going to thrill your soul, amen. It's going to feed your soul. It's going to excite your soul. And there, I mean, the law of thy mouth, the psalmist said, is better to me than thousands of gold and silver. I esteem the words of thy mouth more than the necessary food, amen. It's better than a big old T-bone steak. Cook the best you can cook it, amen. Praise God for the Word of God. I thank God for the Word of God. But I'm telling you, people that are on the path to reprobation, they're grievous revolters. See, they revolt against the Word of God because the very Word of God that gladdens our heart grieves their heart. Grieves them. You know what preaching is to some people? The old prophet said, Jeremiah said it. Jeremiah said, God, he said, all my preaching is to people, it's reproach. Or in other words, people think when you preach the Word of God now, you're reproaching them. You're putting them down. Amen. They're so sensitive. I never seen a sensitive hour like we're living in. Amen. You can't hardly, you know, say boo. Unless they want to just run you out of here. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. You know, I had a man leave me years ago. He said, I'm going to have to leave. I said, why is that? He said, you're preaching too loud. I said, where are you going to church? He told me where he's going. I thought to myself, I know that preacher down there. He preaches louder than me.
Yeah.
I thought to myself, you just told me a lie.
Yep.
You're not leaving because I preach too loud. You're leaving because what I preach loud.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah, right.
Amen. But the Bible said they're grievous revolters. You better watch that. Revolting against God. Now notice this. They walk with slanders. They walk with slanders. You find people that hooks up with those in the church that are always slandering, mocking, putting down the pastor and the people that are trying to do right. They run with those kind of people. Amen. You better mark them. I'm telling you, people, you know the Bible said against an elder. I'm glad God brought this to my mind. And I'm sure there's no one here ever guilty of this. But against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses.
Right.
You remember reading that in 1 Timothy 5?
Amen.
Yeah, preacher, that really condemns those that are going around slandering the preacher. That's not what that verse is saying.
Right.
So I'm talking about the guy that's doing the slandering. He's talking about you that are listening to the slanderer.
Amen.
See, that verse is addressed to the listeners.
Yep.
Not the one that's guilty of doing the talking against the man of God in the church.
Right.
Against an elder, receive not an accusation. So here comes someone with an accusation against the man of God. And the Bible said, don't you receive that.
Amen.
Amen. If he's going to run down the man of God in your presence, don't you receive that. You're guilty before God, not just the man that's doing the running down of the man of God.
Yep, that's right.
Against an elder, receive not an accusation. But I'm telling these people on the path, the reprobation, you watch it every time. They'll hook up. They'll join up with the crowd in the church that hates everything that church stands for and fights against the man of God. And every time the man of God preaches, I don't care what he preaches, all they can do is criticize the man of God.
Right.
You better watch that, amen. You better watch that. You reject God's man. See, Jesus said, if they despise you, they despise me.
Yep.
Jesus so identifies with his servants and his ministers that if you despise them and they're preaching the word of God, you're despising the Jesus that they're standing for and proclaiming his truth.
Yes, sir.
That's how Jesus looks at it. Amen. You know what? What did Jesus say to Saul? Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who'd Saul been persecuting? The followers of Jesus.
Right.
You know what Jesus said? You're persecuting me.
That's right. What he said.
We're going to stop that. We're going to stop that right now, one way or the other. Been hard, hadn't it, Saul? Kicking against the pricks. You've been doing all you've been doing against my church. Have you liked those pricks?
Yep.
Amen. You better be careful. And I'm not saying there's any of that going on here. I'm just saying those verses are in the Bible for a reason. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, see, that's one of the... See, when a preacher gets on stuff like that, like if you're the pastor of this church, like Brother Shepherd is, he's out there thinking, I wonder who's saying that. I wonder who may be guilty of that. Well, maybe nobody. Amen. Amen. I hope not. But you know the Bible said they are all grievous revolters, walking with slanders. They are brass and iron. Brass and iron. People that end up reprobated, their heart continually gets harder and harder and harder and harder and harder and harder and harder until nothing touches them. You know what Jeremiah said? Jeremiah said, I've been preaching to you people. He said, you're just like brass and iron. I'd have a better chance making a dent in a block of iron than I would making a dent in your heart.
Yeah.
Your heart is harder than iron. Amen. Can you imagine that? Iron's pretty hard.
Sure is.
I'd hate to be given the job. here's a block of iron. You stay out here with this sledgehammer until you flatten it.
Yeah.
I'd hate to have that job. That'd take a long time. Probably wear me out before I get the iron wore out. Amen? But you know what God said? God said people who can come and sit under my watchman and hear my warning, and it never touches them, it never moves them, it never convicts them, it never puts any fear in their heart. You know what God said about those people? They are headed down a wrong path, and they're headed towards reprobation.
Yes, sir.
Amen? See, we ought to keep our heart just as tender and sensitive to God as we can. And as a child of God, even as we that are saved by the grace of God, when we feel our hearts getting just a little bit hard and a little bit callous and a little bit indifferent towards the things of God, we ought to get alone with God and say, God, would you just break up my fallow ground? Would you just break up my heart? Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You know, that's what revival is all about. God just breaking our hearts afresh and anew for the things of God and the glory of God and the Word of God and the service of God. God just breaking our hearts up. Amen. This whole world will harden you. Sin will harden you. Amen. The devil will harden you. This flesh will harden you. But hallelujah, it's not my word like a hammer. The word will break our hearts.
Amen.
Thank God. That's why you got to keep coming to hear good old Bible preaching. Because the word of God helps the heart stay right with God.
Amen. Amen.
People that can sit year after year after year after year under goods. You think Jeremiah was a sound preacher?
Yes, sir.
You think he preached God's word? You think he preached God's word with power? He's the weeping prophet. You think he preached God's word with compassion? You think he ever wept over those people he was preaching to? He said, oh, that my head were waters, my eyes a fountain of tears, that I may weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. You know what Jeremiah said? Jeremiah said, I've wept God until I don't have any more tears to weep. I would that you give me some more tears that I could just keep on weeping day and night for my people that are dying under the judgment of Almighty God. Oh God, if they're not moved for Thee, help me to be moved for them.
Yes, sir.
Amen. What I'm saying is, people that go down the path to reprobation, I don't care where it's judgment preaching. I don't care whether it's preaching the love of God. I don't care whether it's preaching hard and strong or preaching with compassion and tears and tenderness. Nothing touches their heart.
Right. Exactly.
Nothing touches their heart.
Yep. Right.
They're like brass and iron.
Yep.
Jeremiah said, like brass and iron. When's the last time God touched your heart? One of these church services. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
When's the last time God got a hold of your heart? Amen.
Amen.
So the Bible said they're all like brass and iron. They're corruptors. And then notice verse number 29. The bellows are burned, the lead is consumed in the fire, the founder melteth in vain. You know what God said? God said these people have been burned, they've been consumed, they've been melted. You know what God did? God in His mercy send them judgment and trouble.
Yeah.
Most people, they won't even look in God's direction until they get in trouble.
That's right.
And you know what God did with these people? He just didn't send them one kind of trouble. He sent them trouble after trouble.
Yes, sir.
He'd send them one kind of trouble, it'd be like being burned in the fire. He'd send them another kind of trouble, it'd be like the bellows just bellowing out heat against him. He'd send them another kind of trouble. It'd be like the founder melting something in the fire. God kept them in the fire. One kind of judgment, one kind of trouble after another. And you know what God said? Though you've been burned, though you've been melted, though you've been consumed, God said, you still won't turn. Look at what the Bible said. For the wicked are not plucked away. They still won't leave their wicked ways and come to me. They're hardened, determined to go the way they want to go. Even though it's cost them all this that God said it cost them. I'm telling you, when you go down the path to becoming a reprobate, not only will preaching not touch you, and the Spirit of God won't move you, but even God sending trouble and judgment to try to get your attention. I'm talking about to the point that you've maybe lost everything. Everything you've had has been consumed in the fire. I'm telling you, I visit people all the time on visitation. They've lost everything to sin. They've lost everything to sin. And they are living in abject misery and sorrow.
Yes, sir.
And they're so blighted in their soul that they'd rather stay in that mess, which is just, it's like a proverbial hell on earth, what they're living in. They'd rather stay and die in that mess than come to Jesus and let Him give them everlasting life. That's how... That's how reprobate their mind is.
Right, right.
They have so rejected God that even though they're suffering like they're suffering, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Amen?
Right.
Now, see, God in His providence, and maybe some of you are like me, see, God in His providence sent trouble in my life to get my attention. He got my attention. God got my attention through a car wreck in the hills of North Carolina, sliding off the side of a mountain, broke the C6 vertebrae in my neck. And I can't explain this. I cannot explain this. But even in the hospital, and they had me so doped up and they did all that surgery, you know, and fused my neck together and all that. But when I was in the hospital, my mother, she was telling me, those boys that come up here to see me, that I was going to school with, I don't even remember this. I wasn't even saved. You know what my mother said I would tell some of them? She said I would tell them that I was going to preach. That's before you even got saved.
Yeah.
But you know what? During those days in the hospital, and then it's when I got out of the hospital, God was dealing with me. And my whole life turned upside down. And for the first time, I began to think, you know, if I'd have died in that car accident,
yes,
though I'd made those professions, I knew in my heart I would have woke up in hell.
Right.
And I couldn't get away from that. And I'm going to tell you, when I got out of the hospital and went back home to convalesce, I'm telling you, That conviction just got deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And back in those days, I wasn't thinking about going back to school and get my degree and finishing all that. All I could think about, I'm going to hell. How do I get right with God?
Amen.
Mother would come in and I'd talk to Mother. Big old tears run down my face, asking her questions. Amen. I'd go see other people, just ask them questions about God. But I couldn't seem to find peace with God somehow. But hallelujah, I found it that morning.
Amen.
I got saved that Sunday morning.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. I found it that morning at the altar. God saved my soul.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I'm glad by the grace of God, only by the grace of God. To God be the glory.
Yes, sir.
To the glory of God's grace.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad my heart hadn't got so hardened that the trouble that God sent me didn't move me, but it did. Amen.
Yes,
it got my attention.
Amen.
And I thank God for that.
Yes, sir.
Reprobate silver. God said, that's what you are because I'm rejecting you.
Yep.
I've rejected you. Do you know why God did that? God did that because they rejected God at every turn where He tried to help them.
Yep.
Amen. All that stuff we read about, His ways, His past, His word, His warnings, His trouble, everything God did, they just said no, 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 no. And a man can say no, 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 but there'll come a time when God says no, and that no will be final.
Right. Right.
Amen.
Right.
That no will be final.
Yes, sir.
Here's what I would say. When God deals with you, don't act like you got more more opportunities to get right with God than that time that God's dealing with you. Come right then and let God help you. Come right then and let God help you. Don't put it off, amen. Don't put it off. Let God help you. Let's all stand to our feet. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the truth. We thank you for these truths that you laid upon my heart. Thank you for the church and their, Lord, their kindness and listening. I pray, oh God, help Brother Shepherd as he comes and closes the service. And I pray if there's anybody here, Lord, thou knowest, that may be here, and they're not saved and are not born again. May the Spirit of God help them to come to Jesus. I pray in that name that is above every name, Jesus Christ. Amen.